few moments, I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6 and verse 68, in which we will focus our attention upon the stranger in the straw as Christ the only hope. John chapter 6 and verse 68. Jesus had been meeting with his disciples, and many of them had turned and gone back to walk no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" And then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Jesus, walking along, leading his people in his ministry, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do you say that I am?" And the 12 said, "We will remain with you. Where else could we go?" Albert Schweitzer once, in studying in Strasbourg Seminary, searching the life of Jesus, had books from the bottom of the floor to the top of the roof of the room in which he worked. They were in French, German, and English. After reading these books, he began to compile a book about the historical Jesus of his own feelings. And here is what he closed with. "He comes to us as one unknown, as of old by the lakeside. He came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, 'Follow thou me,' and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be simple or wise, he will reveal himself in the toils, the conflicts, the sufferings which they will pass through. In his fellowship and in this mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is." There are at least four things that test your attachment to Jesus Christ. First of all, intellect. What if you should come up and say, "I will give up Christ because of what I know in my mind"? What can you go to? Where can you turn? To what would you search? It is easier to spoil a picture than to paint one. And it is easier to pluck a flower than it is to put a flower back on the stem. And it is easier to destroy a statue than it is to build a statue. Joseph Parker said that religion appeals to reason. Religion is reason on her knees. Faith is reason on her wings. Christianity is reason on the cross. We do not give up because we do not understand it. Many times the doctrines of the church are not very clear to us. And after several years, they become clear. Perhaps you at first had trouble with some of the doctrines of the church, but now today you understand them a little more clearly. A second test is a trial that tests us in our attachment to Christ. Some men turn away from Christ when suffering comes, but each of us must recognize that we are brought up in the school of hard knocks. And this is a turning instrument to help us to come to Christ. Another test that tests our attachment to Christ is sin. Many times sin strains the cord of fellowship with Christ. We spend sleepless nights. We have an accusing conscience. We backslide from the days of Adam to the days of Noah. All the way to the nation of Israel, there was sin. There is nothing more pathetic in the Word of God than to hear God cry out over wandering people, "How can I give thee up? Men are drifting." Enoch walked with God, but other men lost their way. Peter denied God, and Judas yet betrayed him. So this is a test of our attachment to Christ. Religious privilege is also a test of our attachment to Christ. If ever a man had opportunity, it was Judas. And if ever people had opportunity for attachment to Christ, it is some of you. Do you really know Christ today? Do you really know this man or stranger in the straw today? When we neglect the Bible, neglect prayer, and the things that attach us to Christ, then these things test us. To what do we owe our attachment to Christ then? I want to submit just a couple things. One thing is parental consecration. Some of you today have your attachment to Christ because of the father and mother in whose home you were born, that attachment that you had with them, some saintly mother, some godly father. And this attachment to Christ you can contribute is the reason why you're a Christian. John McNeil, who became a great preacher, went to hear a man of God preach. He was so moved in his heart, he says, "I will become a Christian. And then by the grace of God, I believe I will preach." He went home to tell his mother about it. When he got home, his mother was asleep. He went in and roused her from her sleep. And he says, "Mother, I have some news I would like to share with you. I have just decided to become a Christian. And if God so desires, I will become a preacher." McNeil's mother grabbed him around the neck and said, "Johnny, my lad, I have prayed for this. I even prayed before you were born." Parental consecration many times is a reason for our attachment to Christ. And you today perhaps may remember how your mother placed you at the altar and brought you before God and lifted you up in prayer. And that perhaps is the reason why God directs and controls your life today. An Indian evangelist was preaching to a group, asking for an offering for another group of Indians in another tribe. And then he said to them, "We want to take an offering, and we want you to give the best that you have." The baskets were passed through the congregation. And then when the baskets were brought back, a great big Indian and his wife walked down the aisle with a little child between them. And as he came and stood before the evangelist, he said this to him. He said, "Sir, you have asked us to bring the best we have to Christ. My money is not the best I have." And without cracking a smile, he said, "This little boy is the best I have. I could not put him in the basket, so I have brought him to you. Now it may mean that you will want to take him away with you, to serve you and to work with you. That will be all right. But," he says, "wherever you take him, remember he is God's child." How mothers and fathers today should give heed to consecration to God. For in this way you bring about an attachment to your children to God. The
The blessings of life can be traced back many times to parental consecration. And then, of course, our attachment to Christ can be traced back to there is no other place to turn. Jesus Christ is the only answer, and we have found it. Now, what will this attachment do for us if we have attachment to Christ? First of all, it will give us the answer to suffering. Listen to Isaiah 43, 2 and 3. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I have given Egypt as thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead. There is no way that we can stand suffering apart from this attachment with Christ. Secondly, it will give me the answer to disappointment. Every day my plans are broken. Every day yours are. But without an attachment to Jesus Christ, you have no answer to your disappointment. Dr. E.D. Poe wrote God's Heart Touch these lines. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me grows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity. Dr. Archie C. Cree of South Carolina, in Gaffney on February 16, 1941, stood up in the pulpit of his church and said these remarkable words. 40 years ago, at this very altar, I received my wife at the hands of God. And now I stand at the same altar, hurt beyond grief and expression and sorrowful. Yet by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, with deep gratitude for her precious fellowship, I resign to her return into the hands of God, confident that we shall meet again before his throne to worship him again forever. This was at the death of his wife. At every turn of the way, we have sorrow. At every turn of the way, pathway that you walk, without your attachment to Christ, you have no answer to disappointment and to sorrow. Dr. John L. Hill dealt with a strong-hearted man one day who had lost his only son and could not reconcile himself until Dr. Hill said, I led him to discover the glorious truth, my grace is sufficient for thee. And once that strong businessman grasped that, my grace is sufficient for thee, he said, every time that man passed by where I was speaking or preaching, he would always come in and he would tell me that his prayer was this. In the morning, I get up and thank God for yesterday, thy grace was sufficient for me. And then I thank him for the day to come with a petition. May thy grace be sufficient for today. When you depart Jesus Christ, you depart a shepherd. No refuge, no place to go, no answer to sin. Goodbye forever. But when we place our lives in God's hands and we are attached to him, then we have something that is going to manifest itself in help, in disappointment, in discouragement, in sorrow, whatever it may be, even when death comes. When I die, my spirit goes to God.
My body goes to the ground. Now the same Spirit that watches over me in heaven watches over me while I'm in the tomb. And by God's grace, when the resurrection day comes, that same Spirit will come and lift me up. To whom shall we go? Peter says, thou hast the words of eternal life. There is nowhere else that a man can go. Turn away from Jesus. Turn away from this child in the straw, if you will. And you turn away from all help and all hope that you will ever have in this life or in the life to come. Without him, life is worthless. Trust him now. Place your faith into him today. And by, you'll see him face to face. Jesus today is standing yonder saying, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He will do it. Will you receive it? 187, we're going to sing. Christ is the only hope this morning for you. The stranger in the straw must become your personal Savior. I invite you, if you're not a Christian, to make your way to the altar today and say, yes, I'll give my life to him. I'll trust him today. I'll follow him. Or I'll come today and move my church membership and make this my church home. Or I'll come and dedicate my life to him. Without this attachment to Jesus Christ, life is fatal and futile. But with Jesus Christ, there is hope. Let us stand and sing. I wonder if God has spoken to some heart here today that needs to respond to Jesus Christ. If he has, then why don't you respond? You're the only person in the world who can do it. I can't do it for you. But you need this personal attachment with Jesus Christ, this personal experience. And the only way to get it is to decide yourself and to say yes to him by opening your heart to him. Christmas with Christ will be great. Without Christ, it's hopeless. We sing that next stanza. What will be your decision? Would you come?
Just as I am.
have opportunities of wonderful experiences tonight. We're going to have another opportunity to share our experience with the secret word one another. I want you to come prepared to tell me what experience you've had with some verse or scripture text in the Bible that has that word in it, one another. It'll be a blessing. Last Sunday night was rich. We're looking forward to this Sunday night as being certainly equally a wonderful blessing as we share this word together. You come and God will bless you. Let us pray. Our Father, help us to take away today something of the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. May we in our hearts today know that this stranger who came is now a friend and he's a savior to many of us. Guide us to be faithful to him, and we pray you would bless us today, that this day, your day, may be a holy day because we've dedicated it to you. And now, Lord, accept the gratitude of our hearts for these young people who have given to us today the Christmas message again. And we pray that you would guide and direct their lives, that because of sharing in this experience, they'll have rich ones ahead. Now take us, lead us, and use us for Christ's sake. Amen.